My name is Linda Bowman. I'm from Huntsville, Alabama. I'm on staff at Choose Life of North Alabama. We are a CareNet center. We are formerly a Save-A-Life center, and we've been in Huntsville for 25 years. And today's topic title is Treating the Wounds of Offense. Well, let me tell you a little bit about myself and where I am in this type of work. My first experience in pregnancy care work was as a young bride in Auburn, Alabama, and I saw in our church bulletin they had this training, and it was at the Save-A-Life Center, and this training was at night, and at that time I was a speech pathologist, and I worked in Bullitt County School. When you said that, Judy, I was like, hey, that's cool. At that time, I worked Bullitt County Schools. I was the only speech therapist for 6 schools and 3 Head Starts. I had 41 kids, and I had a little boy named Marvin. And Marvin's mom was an alcoholic, and Marvin had fetal alcohol syndrome. And when he was 5 years of age, he had a stroke, and it took his speech, but it didn't take his understanding. And he walked with a limp, and he drooled. But that, to this day, that's 20 years ago, that I just fell in love with that child. And I wanted to be able to help their mommies. And I went to this training at the Save-A-Life. It was a night, and, you know, I had always considered myself pro-life, but I had not settled in my heart about rape and incest and the life of the mother. And I went to that training, and I was like, oh, wow, my eyes were open, and I was hooked. I was hooked. I was like, this is what I was meant to do. And I loved doing speech, and that was fine, but it wasn't my passion. To make a long story short, I'm married to an engineer, and they're as bad as the military. So we moved all over. And we moved from Alabama to Texas to Florida back to Alabama. And in the meantime, I worked in centers all over places that we lived. We adopted our son, Benjamin. He was born in Houston. And we took him to Florida when he was 6 months old. And from the time he was 6 months, I stayed home full time. But I kept involved in a pregnancy care center. I called that Talk to My Big People Day. I could talk to big people today. And, you know, I was giving and I was receiving so much more than I was giving. And it was just, you know, it's just been one of the most amazing journeys of my life to be involved in pregnancy care work. I have worked with Choose Life in Huntsville for 10 years. And I became involved with the Infant Adoption Awareness Training Program. How many of you are familiar with that? Okay. And I was like, this is what we need to do. My children were adopted. I felt passionate about it. I want it presented in the center more. And that led me back to graduate school. And in my town, we had a graduate social work program. There are only 2 in Alabama. And I'm like, I don't even have to drive too far. So I went back to school. And my husband's only thing was he wanted me to go back to work. Is what he wanted me to do. Hannah went off to, we adopted our daughter Hannah when Ben was 4 and a half. So when Hannah was going off to kindergarten, my husband said to me, so, you ready to go back to work? And I had done speech part-time, and I'm just like, well, I could do that, and I've kept my license, I've kept my certification, but, you know, I'd really like to go back to school to be a social worker and work in adoption. My husband's only caveat would, well, you have to pay for it. It doesn't need to come out of the family budget, and we're not going to into debt. Well, I agreed with all that. And I went to our director at the center, and I said, Donna, you know what? We need to talk about adoption more in the center. What about a part-time position as an adoption advocate in the center? And I had this old proposal, and, you know, I was asking God what to do. And at that time, Donna said, I don't see it. I don't see it. I don't see the need for it. I mean, she supported adoption very much. And I'd already been doing a lot of the training in the center. And shortly after that conversation, two of our staff members left, our abstinence educator and our post-abortion ministry director. And Donna said, what do you think about this? And I'm like, I cannot see myself in front of a classroom of teenagers. I didn't think I could do that. I didn't know much about abstinence education then. I said, but I love the women. You know, I love the women. I want them to be set free. And that was 3 years ago, the start of my journey into post-abortion care. And I tell you, I am so glad. God gave me a new passion. And we are running groups. We have a group going on right now. We don't normally have a summer group, but God said, you need to have a summer group. We have 8 women that have come through, and we have our memorial next Thursday night. And I just love post-abortion care. Our ministry of Choose Life is big, and I'll address that in just a minute. You know what? I don't have my remote. Hold on. Our ministry of Choose Life is a large center. We're the only one in town. We're formerly a Save a Life Center, now a CareNet Center. We see 300 to 400 women a month for pregnancy tests only. That does not count the women that come to post-abortion care or the mentoring classes or ultrasound, any of that. So we're very busy. We have a large staff. We have 2 full-time people and 8 part-time people. And then we have 70 to 80 volunteers at any given time. And we come from all different denominations and backgrounds. And Huntsville is an Army city with Arsenal there and NASA. We have people from all over the world. And we have 3 major universities there. We see students from all over the world, and it's just an amazingly busy place, and we have discovered the need to have unity in the ministry. We have to work on it. As you can imagine, with that diversity of people, we have to work on the unity in the ministry, and if we don't work on it, we forget. And it has to be something that is brought up over and over and over again. And it's not that we're always fighting, not at all. But we kind of do preventative stuff. We do preventative stuff so that we will maintain the unity in the ministry. Let's look at this verse right here. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Christ Jesus. If you came in and you need a handout, I think there's some more on the back table there. I'm sorry I don't have all the scriptures that I have in the PowerPoint. But if anybody would like the PowerPoint presentation, you can get my card and I'll email it to you. I don't mind to do that at all. What I wanted to give you today was just something you could take back to your center, your ministry, just for a little workshop, for a little checkup. We often have salad luncheons on Friday. Our center closes at noon on Friday. And then the volunteers stay. We have a little salad luncheon together, and we kind of do a pep talk, a workshop. Healing Hands is our abortion recovery program. So when I started it, we had a person on the staff that led the post-abortion care ministry, and it was really brand new then. And when she left, I went into the position, and it was just me. And we really didn't have regular groups. We didn't really have any organization to our ministry yet. And so we've grown. And now I have a team of 10 volunteers that work with me. Now, my background is not management of people at all. I'd rather talk to you one-on-one and listen. That's what I like to do. And for me to start in an administrative role, that was difficult for me. And I'm still learning, for sure. And I mess up all the time. But one thing that is so great in my team is that we're on the same page. I just love that. I have three ladies here with me from my center. They are my core of my ministry, this ministry, God's ministry. And I'm just so thankful for them. Sometimes I'm amazed. I'm just like, are you still here? I'm so thankful for you. So what I wanted to give you today was just something you could take back for a little pep talk, a workshop for your team at home. So what is a wound? And so what is offense? Okay, here's some dictionary definitions. Now, I want you to know this material is not original from me. I'm not real creative. And this is from Toya Poplar. And last summer, we decided as a whole ministry to have a unity retreat. And I thought, it's not that we were having particular trouble with unity in the ministry, but we just saw this as a way of just getting it even better, even more bonded as a team. So the whole ministry went away, volunteers and staff, to a little retreat center near Talladega, which has the racetrack there. And we didn't go to the racetrack. And we just spent an overnight and all day in just unity exercises. And this is one of them that Toya creatively invented, calling treating the wounds of offense. And this is first aid. First aid is your first defense. Okay, how many of you have had a first aid class in your life? I figured most of you would. When I was in undergraduate school, I get to the semester I'm graduating, go to my advisor, and she says, I'm so sorry to tell you that you need another PE credit. I'm like, PE credit? And then she said, and it has to be first aid. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, at least I know I can make an A in that, I hope. And I hope I won't hurt anybody. But what's a wound? Well, a wound is an injury, especially one in which the skin or another external surface is torn, pierced, cut, or otherwise broken. An injury to the feelings. Okay, what's offense? A lack of politeness, a failure to show regard for others, wounding the feelings of others. So what is the goal? So what is the goal? I think I skipped one. Okay, I did. The problem, before I took my center. And I put this slide in yesterday. And from two keynote speakers, we heard something similar. We have met the enemy, and the enemy is us. Well, that broke my heart. But I know it's true. I know it's true. And especially when you look across the country and we're not working together. And yet we've got to work together in our own centers, don't we? And, it starts at home. And I don't want us to be our own worst enemy. I'm sorry, y'all. Okay. So what's the goal? Okay, I told you I was married to an engineer. Anyone else married to an engineer? Judy is. Okay. What do you know about engineers? Well, my husband made me read a book called The Goal. I don't think that way. Isn't God funny how he puts you together with somebody that's totally opposite than you? Yeah, I've heard spouses being called sandpaper in your life. They help sandpaper off the rough edges. Now, he's a great man, I mean, he really is. He's an Auburn graduate, I have to say, War Eagle. Anyway, if you know anything about Alabama, that's a big deal. And he is so goal-oriented, and he has been since he was in kindergarten. And he tries everything. He made me go through scuba diving class. I had to go to remedial scuba diving class. I promise. This was in Pensacola. And the teacher said, I think you need to come back tonight for a one-on-one lesson. And I just barely made it through, just barely, and get my certification. Does that mean I've been since? No. Although my husband, that dream died. He's like, I thought I had a scuba buddy. But anyway, about my husband, he's so goal-oriented. He rides motorcycles. He plays rugby. He's a soccer coach, a referee. I mean, he tries anything. He's very goal-directed. And when he gets tired of something, he just moves on to something else he hasn't done. And I'm just like, life is good. Life is good. I'm happy where I am. And he has to kind of push me along. But one thing I've learned in ministry, you need to have goals. You need to have goals. So let's look at these couple of goals in Scripture. Proverbs 17:9. He who forgives an offense seeks love. I love that. But he who repeats a matter alienates a friend. Proverbs has so many good sayings, doesn't it? And 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the love of God and peace will be with you. So there's our goal. So this is your handout. The rest of the slides will be coming from this handout. You have all the information on your, except for the scripture. You might want to write in the scripture titles as we go along. How to treat the wounds of offense. Look at that red cross there. Does that make you think of first aid? First of all, if the wound is major, that's a major wound. What do we do in first aid? We kind of do triage. We decide, hey, oh, wow, this one's bigger than I can handle. I need to call 911 immediately for emergency medical assistance if the bleeding is severe, spurting, or cannot be stopped, for example, after 15 minutes of pressure. Okay, that's our first aid example. So what if in the offense it's a major wound? We need to call on God and our elders for spiritual assistance. If the wound is severe or cannot be stopped, for example, gossip, jealousy, envy, and discord. Let's look at that scripture there. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere men? Do we want to act like mere men? That's 1 Corinthians 3:3. Okay. It's a major wound. If the person is severely injured, what if their salvation is at stake? That's a major wound. That's something that needs to be addressed right away. Let's look at that scripture there. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. You know, we can deal with people's lives for eternity. If there's fighting in the ministry, are they going to listen to us? I remember I was a volunteer in the center. I was working my shift. I had kind of rushed in. I wasn't prayed up. I was just like, it's another day in the center. It's just another day in the center. I got a lady as my first client. And she was about 40 years old, which we have all ages, but she was older than our average client. And she was a little rough around the edges. And when I got in that counseling room, nothing would come out. I stumbled and stumbled and stumbled, and I'm like, I've done this 1,000 times. What is wrong with me? Well, my heart was convicted really quickly. I knew what was wrong with me. You know, I had not spent my time with the Lord. I had not inquired of Him. And I'm like, I am so messed up. You know what that lady said to me? You don't have God. I'm like, yes, I do. And I got defensive. But she was like, I sure don't look like God. Angie, one of my coworkers, said, you know, be Jesus with skin on. Well, I certainly didn't look like it to her that day. I could have, you know, I got on my face and asked God for forgiveness. But I learned, boy, did I learn. And I prayed for that lady because, you know, her eternal salvation was at stake. And I hope she read something I gave her that touched her heart in a piece of literature. But you know what? She was into all kind of paganism. And she found more peace in what she learned about that religion than she did in what I had to share with her that day. I'm like, I have inflicted a wound. That was a major one. Okay, but most of the time, it's not major stuff, is it, in the ministry? Not major stuff in our centers. We get minor cuts. And we're pretty good at giving minor cuts. Do you believe women are catty? So are men. I'm sorry, Daniel. You're only guy represented back there today. You know, I don't want to believe that women are catty. I really don't want to believe that. But sometimes we can be. And we just kind of... Just a little wound here and there. But this workshop today is to encourage you in the Lord to use Scripture to remember the right thing to do. Okay, minor cut. What do you need to do? Wash your hands with soap to avoid infection. Well, if you have a little minor wound and it gets dirty, gets a little bacteria in there, what's going to happen? You're going to have a major wound. So what do we need to do? Wash it so it won't get infected. Wash your hands of offense to prevent bitterness, unforgiveness, and hurt feelings. A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. Now, this is something we say in the center. Don't get offended. Remember not to take offense. You know, and that sounds so simple, and it is. Try not to get offended. Don't wear your feelings on your sleeve. I see some nodding heads over here. You know, often, whatever that was, really wasn't intended to give you a wound. Of course, we need to be careful what we say, right? But often... We just need to let it go. Let it go. A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. Proverbs 19:11. Wash the cut thoroughly with mild soap and water to avoid infection. Wash thoughts thoroughly with Scripture to avoid condemnation. Okay, is that take every thought captive kind of idea? Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ephesians 6:17. Wash those thoughts thoroughly to avoid condemnation. I'm someone, I hate confrontation. oh, I will do anything to avoid that. My husband's a confronter, and I'm a hider. I'm like, my poor husband's getting a beating today. But and when we got married, he wanted to take care of things quickly. And I was like, I need to think about this a while and stew on it. And I had to think about something before I said it, and he just said it. And we had to come to some place in the middle. But if I ever felt like I hurt somebody, I beat myself up for days and days. And the enemy got a hold of that, and you're no good. You think you help people? I got another story for you. And that condemnation just rung in my heart. Use direct pressure to stop bleeding. And this is what we're talking about. Use immediate confrontation to stop confusion. Now, we know who the author of confusion is, don't we? Now, if you've offended somebody, you go right then. As long as you're not so emotional that you'll say something that you don't mean. But get it cleared up. Get it cleared up, or it's going to get infected, or it's going to keep bleeding. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Do you look at that scripture? My pastor meditated on this one for a whole year, and then that challenged me that this would be my meditation verse. And it doesn't say resist the devil, submit to God, and the devil will flee. Does it? It says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Use immediate confrontation to stop confusion. You know what? If we go to someone else, and we'll talk about this in a minute, if we go to someone else before we go to the injured party, you know what? It's going to get confusing. Apply an antibacterial ointment. What is that stuff? Neosporin? An antibacterial ointment. Apply the oil of the Holy Spirit for comfort. Isn't he the great comforter? The oil of joy for mourning. And there's that beautiful verse we often use in post-abortion care, to bestow on them a crown of beauty. That was in a praise chorus we sang earlier. Instead of ashes, the oil of gladness, instead of mourning, and a garment of praise, instead of spirit of despair. How effective can we be if we're walking around mourning and despairing? We need to apply the oil of the Holy Spirit. If the cut is likely to get dirty or be reopened by friction, once bleeding has stopped, cover it with a bandage that will not stick to the injury upon healing. If the situation gets messy or reopened by friction, say, gossip or contention, cover it in love. And the scripture for this one is 1 Peter 4:8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Isn't that so true? When your sister in the office knows that you love her, isn't she going to forgive you many things? When she knows that you really care about her as a person, and that you really didn't mean to wound her feelings, and that you love her and you want to be restored in relationship with her. Now, if there's gossip or contention, it's going to get messy. And it will grow and grow, and you're going to have a big problem on your hand. And you don't want that. You don't want that. You want love to cover over a multitude of sins. Do not assume. that a minor wound is clean because you can't see dirt or debris inside. Wash it. Do not assume that everything is okay because you can't see that person is offended. Wash it. Cover it in love. Now, although I just told you a second ago that I hate confrontation, I do hate it. I do hate it. Yet, if I think that someone is upset with me, I can't stand that more. I can't stand that more. I can't sleep. I will go home and fret over that. And perhaps there never was a problem. But if it's in my mind that there might have been a problem, I have to call her. Or meet with her first thing the next day and say, "Hey, I'm not sure. I might have said something that hurt your feelings. Can I check that out?" You know what happens most of the time. "I didn't think twice about that. What are you talking about? I know you didn't mean anything by that. I didn't remember a thing. What are you talking about?" And I'm just like, you know what? I wasted so much time and energy worrying over something that was nothing. Has anybody else done this? Amen. And when I'm restored in relationship to her, even if it was all in my mind, that is such a tremendous relief. And it just helps the flow of the ministry. I can't be effective in what I'm doing if I'm worried about, I'm out of fellowship with Sherry. I just can't stand being out of fellowship with my sister. First, this is Matthew 5:24. First, go and be reconciled to your brother or sister, as the case often is. Then come offer your gift. Do not breathe on an open wound. I think that one's kind of funny, but, we don't do that, do we? Unless it's me putting peroxide on Hannah's boo-boos. I'll blow on it. It'll be fine. This child is terrified of getting her wounds cleaned out. And she's about to be 9. She's not a little bitty thing. When she was in Cubbies in Awana, anybody know what Cubbies is in Awana? She was 3. And she had 2 daddies for teachers. I thought that was the coolest thing. They were great men in our church. Came running for me. Hannah had been running circles in class, and she tripped, and she fell, and she hit her head on the bookcase, and it looked like it needed stitches. I'm like, oh, no. So, yeah, I went and picked her up, and it was bad. Wasn't too bad, but it was bad enough. And I'm like, we have to go to the emergency room. And there were about 9 of us piled into that emergency room, which was being renovated. And it was tiny. And that nurse came and got her and said, "Is this all your family?" I said, "Well, this is my church family." And they're worried about her. And we had to tie her down to get her stitches. And if, as her mama, that is the hardest thing. That is so hard. And I'm like, I wasn't convinced her head was numb when they put them in because she was screaming so. But I've learned since that the screaming's pretty normal now for Hannah. And if I could have just, on that boo-boo and made it all better and made it quit hurting, that's what I would have done. But what about breathing a word? Do not breathe a word of it to anyone else. Now, I've been guilty of this. Because I didn't want to wound somebody else. Or maybe I wasn't being real mature. But I have gone to somebody else and said, "Do you think I hurt her feelings when I said da 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 da?" and the other person either says yes or no or whatever, you're crazy, and that person gets drawn into it. Or what's the other thing? What's the other thing we do? Did you hear what she said to me? Did she mean da 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 da? And that other person gives you an opinion, and what happens? It starts feeding off of each other. And I'm like, what happens to that wound? It gets infected. Oh, my goodness. This is one way where you can really start something in our centers that doesn't need to be there. My version says a perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. Proverbs 16:28. I don't want to be a perverse man. I don't want to be a gossip. I want to keep my friends. Do not try to clean a major wound, especially after the bleeding is under control. Do not try to revisit the wound after healing has already begun. Okay, what do children do? They get fascinated with their boo-boo on their elbow. And they just can't leave it alone. And they just keep messing with it until, what happens? Yeah, starts bleeding again, and it gets infected, and it gets all mess, and then they have to get that alcohol back out again, and the screaming starts again. Can you let it go? Do not try to revisit the wound after healing has already begun. The scripture here is Proverbs 12:18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Doesn't scripture have so much to say about the tongue? Doesn't it get us in trouble a lot? But it also can bring healing. The words that you say to each other in the center, I don't know about you, but I have the greatest bunch of women ever. Y'all come to Huntsville. They're so wonderful. You know, we have teenage women to women in their 80s in our center as volunteers. And I just love that. I go to a big church. I go to a Sunday school class with couples about my age. I don't have a lot of interaction with people older or younger than I am at church. I wish there was more, and it's my fault. I know I need to be more involved with ladies' groups. But at work, in the center, you know, I can count on one of my best friends who is a great-grandmother. I just love her. She came to the center after hearing a Sanctity of Life message. She had 6 children. I don't know how many grandchildren, great-grandchildren she has now. She was asking the Lord just to take her. She was in despair. She was just tired. She was like, I have nothing left to offer you, God. My health is poor. I don't have a lot of energy. She has Parkinson's, so she has a bad tremor. Yet she can still communicate. And she went through our counselor training, and she became like a new woman. She was praising God that He gave her a gift in ministry and at her age and in her health. She is an evangelist. She leads so many people to the Lord. I am so thankful for her. And I just praise God for our ministry. We have women from all ages and stages. And if we don't bridle the tongue, we could get in a lot of trouble. Do not remove a long or deeply embedded object. seek medical attention. Have you seen some of those emergency room real life programs? I'm fascinated with those. Except after I was in a bad car accident. Then I couldn't watch them for a long time. For some reason, I'm fascinated with them again. I guess you forget some bad things. But have you ever seen, you know, those impaling victims? Ugh, those are awful. You got to seek medical attention for that, don't you? Do not remove the speck in someone else's eye. Avoid fault finding and blame shifting. Why do we do that without examining yourself? Well, we fault find and blame shift because it's convenient and because it's so much easier to do that than look at ourselves. Look at ourselves. Introspection is so important. Seek the great physician. Luke 6:42. Do not probe or pick debris from a wound. Seek medical attention. Do not probe or pick on the offended or the offender. Seek God to examine the meditation of your heart. You know, in your center, when you have a lot of different people, you have a lot of temperament differences. Have you ever done temperament studies or little programs in your center? In my house, you know, there are four temperaments. I have one of each in my house. We're all different. And you just have to understand the temperaments of other people that you work with. Two of the younger ladies that are on staff in my center have very opposite temperaments. And they both started the ministry about the same time, and they clashed right away. They just didn't understand the other person because they did things differently, and they thought about things differently, and their priorities were different. And for a while, they kind of circled around each other, like lions kind of sizing each other up. And I'm the peacemaker. I'm like, I don't like this. I don't like to have stuff wrong in the ministry. This bothers me. I can't stand it. I can go, you people are keeping me up. And anyway, guess what we talked about in devotions a lot then? Unity. And understanding each other. But when they were in that circling stage, they were looking for what the other person would do wrong so they could go tattle to the director. Of course, who didn't want to hear it? You people, get along. I'm going to put you in a room until you work it out. But you know what? God worked it out because they humbled themselves. And he developed a love for each other, each of those women. And it's, you know, I didn't have to do anything. I just had to watch God work. They were willing to seek God to examine their own meditation of their hearts. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Psalm 19:14. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that what you want to happen? That your every thought is of him. That every word that comes out of your mouth is pleasing in his sight. You know what? If you're circling around looking for what she's doing wrong or he's doing wrong and not looking at your own heart, you're not going to get anywhere. You're going to get infected. I love this one. Do not push exposed body parts back in. okay, no problem with that. I'll go get Jenny. She's the nurse on my team. Jenny! She works at Space Camp. Have any of y'all met Jenny? She works in Huntsville. You know, we have NASA. We have that Space Camp for all the kids that come play astronaut for a week. You wouldn't believe the kind of stuff she treats out there. Oh, we had Tom Hanks' kid recently, son. So that was in the paper. Anyway, I'm going to run and get Jenny. Anyway, cover them with clean material until medical help arrives. No problem. Do not push exposed sins back in. Cover them with prayer until deliverance comes. I have a sad story. My home church, I just love my home church. I grew up in, got married in, and I guess I was close to a senior in high school, and one of the deacon's wives went back to work, and she'd been a stay-at-home mom for a long time, and this deacon was one of my dad's best friends. My dad was chairman of the deacons at the time. And so this lady, this deacon's wife, was a friend of the family. And anyway, sadly, she became involved in an affair with her boss. And nobody talked about it. And one of the co-workers that she had also went to our church, and he knew about the whole thing. And he went to the deacons. And nothing was done. And that sin, which was exposed, but it was pushed back in. And I'm sad to say, that was 20 years ago, and my church has never recovered. It's still there, but it just limps along and limps along. And it's so sad. That just breaks my heart. A good friend of mine who was in the second grade, Ms. Diamond's class with me, died 2 weeks ago from pancreatic cancer. But I was happy to see that her service was at our home church. But still my heart was like, it's never going to be the same again until the church deals with the problem. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. So what do you get when you practice good first aid? Unity. Peace. Harmony. Aren't those great things? Don't they help you sleep at night? A desire for the volunteers to be there. This is one of the greatest things about my center, is that we don't have trouble filling every shift. And we're open 6 days a week. I am so... And one evening, open one evening. We have ladies that desire to be there. They are ministered to while they're there ministering. And then God blesses you. God blesses that ministry. And of course, there's a tremendous amount of love. This is my friend Toya. Toya is one of those ladies. She's a peacemaker too. And she wrote this Bible study for us today. She wrote it for our Unity Retreat. And she allowed me to share it with you guys today. Yes, you have a question. Okay. Okay, I'm repeating the question for the tape. Okay, the question was, how important do I feel it is to have the staff and maybe the volunteers, exclusively staff, to have regular daily devotions and prayer? Okay, I think it is extremely important and daily. It must be a priority, and our center does. We have a time set aside at 10 a.m. every day. We are not allowed to take clients during that time. At least 30 minutes. We're in there longer sometimes when someone has a word. You know. I think it's so important. And our volunteers pray before every shift. We have a morning shift and an afternoon shift and one evening shift on Thursday evenings. So, are y'all with me? Y'all think that's important? Yes, ma'am. One lady commented that she has seen a whole staff and center go down the drain because of the lack of prayer. What are we doing anyway? Can we do anything apart from God? We can't. We have to ask. He said, you have not because you ask not. And what about King David? What did it say? He inquired of the Lord. I'm like, that is a great thing to meditate on. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. How do you suggest that without offending the rest of your staff? Well, you can blame me. This is what I did when I was a little girl. When I didn't want to do something, Mama said I can't do that. This is what my Hannah does, too. She has a little playmate named Katrina. Katrina's kind of bossy. And Hannah has her own issues with that. But sometimes she doesn't feel like playing with Katrina. So she says, Mama said, I can't come out right now. I mean, that's an idea. I don't know. But I would believe that whoever's in leadership at your center would need to be sold on the idea, too. And I know, I see you. And just say, hey, this is what I was thinking. They were talking about there at the Rama conference about having a daily devotional time and how healing that would be. I tell my team, we deal with death every day. We deal with grief every day with our clients. And that is so hard. Where is the energy going to come from to help anyone if we don't aren't empowered by God? You have a comment about that. Wow, that's such a great idea. I knew it was out there somewhere. But one attendee recommended, and this is what she does, what she did, is that she started praying with one other person, and then just alone, and then that group started coming, and by 30 days, it was routine. Very good. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Very good comment. The comment was that when I said that we see death every day, that it has been said that we're on the front lines, but the attendee says that we're not on the front lines because there's the whole spiritual realm that is fighting this battle. I agree with you. Okay. Was there someone else? Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You You mean as far as clients served? Okay. Now, Satan's leaving you alone. And, you know, he's like, there's nobody fighting the battle in the spiritual realm there in prayer. Right. Okay. Right. Right. Okay. The participant was saying that they used to have regular prayer, but they've gotten away from that and has seen some results of that. Sharon. Okay. Okay. The participant is saying that you can get away from that, and you need to get back to it. And that's not a business that you're running; that it's a ministry. Okay. I think you were first. Is this some confirmation and some encouragement? I hope so. I think that's great. And the participant was just saying that a national group consulted and said that they maybe they didn't need a daily devotion time, and yet she's feeling convicted that they do. Okay. One more comment on the prayer. Uh-huh. Not a center? Okay. 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 That's right. We can ask for prayer. And this participant was talking about outside prayer groups that do that anyway. She asked them to pray for their healing group. I think that's great. Participant is talking about a prayer walk through her center that resulted in more abortion-minded and changed minds as well. Wow. Right. Don't we have to be on guard? Don't we have to be on guard every minute? I mean, they're post-abortion ministries. You know, we're not, are we in competition? Don't we want women and men to be set free? We might do it a little bit different. But my director says, keep the main thing, the main thing. Keep the main thing, the main thing. Oh, right. I love that. Okay, we're running out of time, ladies, but I want to share something with you. Look, my screensaver came on. Okay, guess what my password is? Hannah. That's my daughter. She's a mess. she said, "Mama, when you coming home, you going to bring me something?" That's what she's more worried about. This is a little video of just clips of pictures put together by my nurse. My nurse on my team, Jenny. She has many talents. She's one of the boldest people I've ever met. She survived childhood leukemia. Boy, God had a big plan for her life. But she put this together for that same retreat, and it's called Standing for Jesus. I'll turn it up.
Jesus, I stand for you. No matter what.